In the book of Acts today, before we get started, though, for those, I had someone ask, if you have a hymn possible today, just put it in the offering box, and we'll get those out. And whoever does the stuff in the offering box, just take the hymn possibles and lay them right up here somewhere on the platform for today. Also, be in prayer for Judy Castle. Dick had to take her to the emergency room this morning. She was having trouble breathing, and I think her blood sugar was elevated more than it should be. So they are at Twin Falls right now, waiting to see what the docs say on that. So just be in prayer for them. Acts chapter 1. This is a fun one today, I think, because it involves words. Words more than normal. And I love the words, and I especially love the Greek words, because words mean things. In Acts chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 14. And interestingly enough, this... Hey, look at that. Sorry. Interestingly enough, Brian's got a mustache and it caught me off guard. Sorry. I try really hard not to have those moments, but it just happens and that's the way it is. See what you did? And he's like, what'd I do? Prayer. Tonight is corporate prayer Sunday night. And it just so happens that today in our passage, we are talking about the need for being together in prayer as a church. Okay? Largely, what I'm going to have to say today is going to apply to those who know Christ as their Savior already. But then there are some of you here today that you don't know Christ. You're religious, but you're lost. Or you're just flat lost in your lifestyle. You don't know Jesus. There's no peace. You have some rhetoric. You've got some liturgy maybe in your head. But there's no relationship. And it's not shown in any way, form, or fashion in your life except that you're familiar that God is spelled G-O-D. And so I want to encourage you to listen to what should be the pulse and heartbeat of a true born-again believer. And it's always going to show itself in a willingness and a desire to want to pray, right? So let's look at these passages together today. I put them on the screen for you. By the way, though, don't ever let the things on the screen keep you from bringing your Bible to church, because you should write in it and take notes. That is perfectly admissible, all right? You should do that so that you can remember what was preached, when it was preached, and anything that was shown to you. Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Who was there? Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So there was quite the crowd gathered here in this upper room. And in this, we see something very important. They all continued with one accord in prayer. They were not in a Subaru or a Toyota. They were in an accord. You can blame Chris Myrie for that joke. He told it to me a couple weeks ago, and I had to do it. Thanks, Chris, because every time I read that now, I think of it. Every single time I think of it. John Piper could be preaching this, and I would still think of it. Thanks a lot. This is just a dumb joke, but it's funny. Now, if you don't read too fast, you'll see something here. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. These, who? Peter, James, John, Andrew, the lot that's mentioned. But the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers, specific people were praying, specifically. What were they praying for? Why were they there? Because they remember the promise that Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until the promise of the Holy Spirit come upon you. How's that supposed to work out?
Now, granted, as Jews, they knew that Pentecost was coming. This is about roughly 10 days before, right? So they knew, by being Jewish in their culture, they knew that it was this thing they observed. But then Jesus kept talking about that a promise is coming that will change everything. They weren't sure. I imagine, and I'm just practically playing this out. We look back on what Jesus did from this vantage point and from having this, so we can read ahead, right? They didn't have that. How do you gather together to pray for something you don't really understand? Well, the first thing you got to do is you got to come together. But really, the first thing is you got to want to. These that are mentioned specifically wanted what Jesus had promised. They wanted the Holy Spirit to come upon them. They weren't a stranger to the Holy Spirit, mind you. I mean, after all, they had the prophets of old to talk about how when the Holy Spirit came upon them. Interestingly, Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. There were plenty of times, Saul and David, that when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they knew a little. But what in the world was Jesus talking back in John 14? That he will dwell in you. Permanently? Every one of us? What does that look like? What should we do? And don't discount the fact either, folks, that as Luke begins his letter or his historical narrative here, that these disciples were shaken to their soul. Jesus had died. They were just wondering how it was all going to turn out. It was uncertain. Not to mention, they kind of had targets on their backs. I might say at this point that soon, very soon, myself and Terry, perhaps, hopefully, it depends, and Jeff Phillips and Rich Henry and Adam Artho will be going to Myanmar, Manwa, Myanmar, or Manyua, Myanmar, to preach the gospel to Burmese people. That have been churches, 49 churches have been praying for the past 9 months, prearranging visits for us to go visit them in their homes and villages to share the simple truth of the gospel with them. We're going to go there as Americans with freedom to share the gospel to a people that don't really have the freedom to express it. So in other words, we don't realize it, but on one hand, we're given the good news. But on the other hand, it's going to cost them when we leave. You thought about that? That's kind of what we have here. There's something great, but it's going to cost us. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Now, the pattern for powerful prayer meetings is simply twofold. Number one, we must be devoted to it. It being prayer. You got to be devoted to it. Sometimes your first prayers of your prayer life would be just to get you out of trouble. Lord, please, please, please don't let him write me a ticket. And it's really not the ticket you're afraid of. It's your wife. That's a bad deal. You know, hi, I'm home. I'll go outside. Or you did something dumb and you pray they don't remember. Okay? We cut our teeth on prayer, I think, trying to get out of trouble. But prayer is so much more. And yet it's simply profound because it's talking to God. It's talking to God. If you're not careful, you'll get around some more seasoned saints in other churches. Not here, of course, and I'm so thankful that when you ask them to pray, "O God, we thank Thee for Thy in favor upon Thy bountiful hand of blessing in our life." And then 3 hours later, "And it's Thee we supplicate with great grievings of the soul." Amen. "What y'all want to eat now?" I mean, that's really, because, and we think, if that's praying, man, I can't do it. I just can't do it. But prayer is simply talking to God about what's going on in your life. Lord, you've addressed Him, right? Lord, dear Heavenly Father, Jesus, it's all good. Here's what's happening. I don't know what to do.
Notice this word real quick in Acts 1 in verse 14. Now, by the way, it says they were near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. That was just a hair over 3,000 feet. Because if you're a good Jew, you couldn't walk a mile on the Sabbath. That'd be working. 3/4 of a mile will do. Okay, so they made it back to this place, but they were with one accord. It means that these all, notice the first word here, in verse 14, "these all continued." So in the Greek, proskatero, its basic meaning is to stay by, to persist at, to remain with. In connection with persons, it means to be loyal to someone. And in connection with objects, it means to occupy oneself diligently with something. You continue in it. There's no way to have an effectual prayer life without continuing in it. Say, "I pray." When's the last time you prayed? "About a month ago." Okay. Actually, I'm quite surprised. Most of the time, when I talk to people, they all admit to praying a lot, quite often. I mean, they really do. Lost people even will admit to praying a lot, all the time. I think that's kind of cool, and I think it's a grace of God that's built into the soul. We may fuss and fight and feud against God and what He's laid down as this is the way it's got to be, but boy, when we need Him, we don't mind asking. "Lord, I'm about to die. Help! There's nothing I can do. I can't talk my way out of it. Help!" And when you pray, also, I might add, that you are asserting the sovereignty of God over all things because you believe He can help. Colossians 4:2. "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." Now, interestingly, there's another word here, being vigilant in it. You have unction. You have power. You have heart, passion in it. Now, quite honestly, too, on this point, many Christians will admit that their prayer life is dull, dry, without any kind of satisfaction. And I would just say this to you. I've been there, man. I know. I know what you mean. But a passionless heart can't pray with passion. And every single time in my life when I've known that I have prayed passionless, it's because I got something in front of Jesus. Something is obscuring my view of His glory. Something is seeking to compete with my allegiance. That's sin in my life. And the Bible says that if I harbor sin in my heart, He will not hear my prayer. So then I get rid of that sin. And then I pray with passion. Continue earnestly in it. That means you don't give up. Jesus actually taught us many times, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, right? He said that. It was such a relief to me, because we're taught many times, if not careful, a lopsided gospel
Well, God says not to use vain repetitions. Okay, you grow up with those kind of things. So that means I prayed about it once, and I can't be. I'll be vainly repetitive if I bring it up again. No one ever said the window. How close? But then Jesus said, "Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. For your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of." And, I mean, He's a good Father. So, if you ask Him for bread, will He give you a stone? No. He knows what to give to you. So keep on praying. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. You say, "I've been praying for this for 10 years. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. If you trust God, trust that He knows what He's doing. Yeah, and by the way, I just do want to say, that doesn't mean it's not frustrating, though. I mean, man, sometimes I get kind of upset at the Lord about it. And I'll say, "Respectively speaking, sir." "Respectfully, I disagree that it's taking so long. But, I'm sorry. I know that's not right, but it's how I feel right now. Forgive me of my short-sightedness. However, this is how I feel, and you know anyway, and I can't stop you from knowing that, so I might as well just say, respectfully speaking." You can say just about anything when you say that. But I think the Lord likes our honesty. "Now, Lord, give my faith a boost, because it's weary. I'm not seeing stuff." I love what Travis had to say earlier about all of this harvesting going on, and I find it strange that the guy that planted the corn isn't going to be there at harvest, because back in my world he was, because he knew he had to take it to the bank. But this guy maybe not. Nonetheless, we pray for what we cannot see. One of the best things I ever heard was in Georgia when they said, "Many of you now are beneficiaries of the blessings from the prayers of those who died before they would ever live to see it." How many of you are willing to pray for something you may never live to see? Well, that gets kind of forecasting a bit. "Lord, I pray that my grandson and my granddaughter will be used so mightily for the things of God that when they come around, everybody's going to know they love Jesus. And they will know to ask them a reason for the hope that's in them." They aren't even dating yet. That's preemptive, though. And I have hope. So that's they're like, "Oh, heavens." For all the PKs in the room, it just comes with the territory, you know. You know, when prayers are answered, they come suddenly. By the way, if you fill out an impossible, if you see an answer to that prayer, would you please fill out another impossible and say, "This is what I prayed before. This is what God did." Because part of praying is praising. We'd love to know that. Next, let's look at this word "continued" as it occurs in what we call the lemmas of Scripture. Okay? This is every time this word occurs in Scripture, and this is basically what it means. So, proskatereo means to be devoted to, continued, continuing steadfastly. As we see in the red, they put steadfastly with it, but in the blue, it's continued or continuing. And then you got these other little ones: continue earnestly, attending continually, give yourself ourselves continually, waited continually, it's used in that context, or kept ready continually. The reason I put that up there is you get the idea that we are to continue in our praying, right? You can't just be a once and done. And if it's heavy on your heart, people ask me sometimes, "Preacher, how do you know when God's laid something on your heart to pray for?" Well, my thing is, you can't forget, and you always want to be praying about it. That's how it's worked in my life. If it's of God, it will just always be there. Always. If it's of me, I have a tendency to just forget about it altogether. What are you burdened for? What do you want? And I think God would say to us today, what is it that you want? Well, look at this. With the continuing was with one accord, and then the bad joke I just said a while ago. Now, there's a compound Greek word here that brings this into perspective very well. The word is homo thumason. Okay? Homo meaning same. And then, of course, thumaton meaning with one of mind or purpose. So, this word denotes the inner unity of a group of people engaged in an externally similar action. It can thus be rendered with one mind. Worth noting is the fact that it often occurs along with statements about the number and place of participation. So, what we have in this word that's used when they were together with one accord is that it wasn't a lone ranger thing. There was more than one. There was more than two, actually. There was more than three. Okay. They were gathered for a specific person because their heart beat for the same thing. We want the promise of the Holy Spirit. We want everything that Jesus said He was going to give us. We don't know what it looks like. We do not know how it's going to come. But we are doing what He said do. Tarry at Jerusalem. That means hang out. Hang around. And wait. And we hate waiting. But the biggest test of obedience oftentimes is in waiting. Boy, is it so. Hate that. So much. And they waited. Homo, the same. Now, I know what our culture's done with it, but this is it, the same. They were the same when they came to prayer time. You get it? They were the same in what they were continuing for. They were the same. They didn't have a divided attention. They didn't have a divided desire. There weren't factions in their prayer meeting. Oh man, can you imagine that? They all were aiming one direction. They were the same. That's very important with the whole one accord thing. The other one, thumadon, is unitedly. Originally, it denotes a violent movement of air, water, the ground, animals, or men. When this word is used in its basic form, that's what it meant. So, it's not a passive, kindly thing. Of the same power and force with which they came to pray. Man, how many times have you ever been in a dead prayer meeting? Oh God, we so believe you for great things. And stuff. And my favorite. It's my favorite. Now, lead, guide, and direct us. Doesn't that all mean the same thing? It sounds good for filler. Oh, yes. And then you start in the King James language. In these words of preciousness do we pray. Man, life and power. Have you ever... How different do you pray when you're desperate? When the gloves come off. You might get on your face. You want to get low. Because you're saying with your body, God, I am so vexed by this that I'm getting myself as low as I can to show you that sees all things that I am desperate. Now, do you have to? No. But there's something about the way we speak that reveals what's on the inside. There was a movie once years ago that I watched a long time ago. It was called The Shawshank Redemption. And the black man on there that became the friend of the guy that was wrongfully accused, he was up for parole, and it showed several times throughout the scene. Tell us, do you think you have been rehabilitated? Oh, yes, sir. You know I've been rehabilitated. I tell you, I won't do anything. Oh, no, sir. I'm completely changed. Denied. Every time. Till finally at the end, he finally spoke from the heart. Have I been rehabilitated? Well, let me tell you. If I could talk to that young man, I'd tell him how dumb he was. And then he goes on this speech and he goes, and if you don't like that explanation, then don't waste my time. And he got up, affirmed. He got out of there, man. It's like, there's a difference when it's you. So when you pray, pray the truth. From the sense of to well up. Now notice this part of it. To boil up. There seems to have developed that of to smoke and then to cause up, to go up in smoke. Man, they're praying so hard they're going to burn up. I mean, that's kind of what it is. There's such an intensity there. And so this basic meaning of thymos is thus similar to that of, now notice this word, pneuma. Namely, that which is moved and which moves, and it's talking about the Spirit as a vital force. In other words, I just bring that up to say, one accord means they prayed with single purpose, with great passion. They knew what they wanted. They knew what God's will was for them to have. And they went after it with everything they had. Now, I would ask you guys, when's the last time you've been to a prayer meeting like that? What would that do? A lot. It's a weak word, but, you know, stuff happens in desperation. They cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. Now, I put this up here as an example of what it means to have one accord and a negative example. This is a negative, but it may help you understand. When Stephen was preaching to them, the Jews and the religious leaders, right? It was a hostile crowd. And it says they stopped their ears. I can just see them go, nah, 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 nah. We don't want to hear. And they ran at him, gnashing their teeth. So furious, of one mind, they hated everything they said that he said, and they were together on it so much that it was a mob mentality took over, and they threw him out of the city and they stoned him to death. But they were in one accord with it. Well, can't you have that the opposite way? For going towards God with God, everything you have, we want. And we can't live without you. Acts 8:6, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. It wasn't just a passive, golf clap. I want that, yeah. What's for lunch? They were set. That's where I'm going. God is what I want. God is what I need. And God is all I'm after. And I can't stand myself. And I can't stand you right now. I just want God. Okay? Romans 5:15-6, that you may with one mind and one mouth, now it's stepped it up some, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that say? When we all think the same, we're going to say the same. We're going to pray the same. That means this. What you're burdened for is going to come out in your prayer life. The heartbeat of the church will come out on its knees. I don't know what I'm seeing most times in our world, but I know this. God's still on His throne. He still rules. He still reigns. His promises are still in effect. We may not have persecution to push us on our knees, but God help us to not have to be forced there to have it. But if that's what it takes, then God bless us with it. Because this status quo stuff, I don't see any satisfaction in it. Now, lastly, it says they were in one accord with prayer. Prayer is both the thermometer and the thermostat of the local church. For the spiritual temperature either goes up or down, depending on how God's people pray. John Bunyan, author of Pilgrim's Progress, said, "Prayer is a shield to the soul, a sacrifice to God, and a scourge to Satan." Do you know where John Bunyan wrote that? In prison. an old, nasty, dank, horrendous prison. In the book of Acts, you see prayer accomplishing all kinds of things. And then we have people that say, well, that was just the book of Acts, and that was just for them. No, it wasn't. God's not capricious like that. There's only one thing that we don't have the privilege of asking for that happened in the book of Acts. They had the privilege and the task of waiting for and expecting the promise of the Holy Spirit to come. On this side of Pentecost, as born-again children of God, we have Him. So if you're waiting for the Holy Spirit as a child of God, if you're waiting for Him, are you born again? And I will tell you this, if you're truly born again, and I want to give you good news, He's in there. He's in there. You just got Him piled over with all kinds of stuff in your closet. He must be first. He will use only that when He is put first. He will not compete. And the praying, and I wrote this down, as the praying goes, the church goes. I often say, so goes the pastor, so goes the church. And I think that's true to a large degree. I think as the praying goes, so goes the church. So here's the response and invitation today. Christian, do you have other affections that steal and rob you of the satisfaction of the preciousness of the Holy Spirit in your life? Your prayers are dry, your Bible study's dry, your devotional time is dry, because believe me, you can do every single one of those and still be backslidden. I pastored a church that way. Now top that. I planted a church that way. You can do all those things and still be just as dry and brittle as you can imagine. Can't you, Brian? He knows too. But boy, when we get finished, and you're out there in the pasture of your life, and the full moon's up, and the broom weed's in your face, ain't nobody out there but the cows. And you say, God, I'm a fool. I thought that I could do it. I thought I could gain your affections even more, and that I'd be a super Christian and get a cape and everything. And then you tell me that I'm an affront to you. And I admit, Lord, I'm my own idol. Because I have an idea of what success looks like. God, break my heart. He will remake you. He will fill you to overflowing. That doesn't mean you're going to always walk around with emotional pie in the sky. But you will have a steadiness for your soul. A rock that won't roll. And you will have strength that doesn't vacillate. Now the next part of what I want to say is to you, as I mentioned earlier, that don't know Christ. Perhaps you're religious but lost. You know a lot of religious vernacular, but there's no heart in it. Or this is just completely unusual to you. I want to say this to you. There's only one true God, as the Bible says. Even God says, I am the only God. I know of not another. God gave us a perfect place to live on this earth back with Adam and Eve in the perfect garden, and we messed it up. Things fell apart. We got separated from God. And we've been trying to work our way back into His good graces ever since, with religion, with good works. Man, we love to work. We love to work our way to God. Praying, singing, all kinds of stuff you can do for God. But the one thing that God wants us to do is admit our sin, see our sinfulness, look to His Son Jesus Christ and say, upon Him I put my whole hope, and I cry out for mercy and ask You to forgive me for being the one that nailed Him to the cross for my sin. Cover my sin debt, Lord, and become my Lord and my Savior. That's why we do what we do. And at the end of the day, that's what the church is here for, to do. That's why we're going to Myanmar. They're religious there too, but lost. Many will say to me in that day, Jesus said, they will say, Lord, Lord. And I will say to them, notice they're shut down right after the second Lord. I don't know who you are. Depart from me. And then he says, you worker of iniquity. What does that mean? A worker of lawlessness. You try to get by my all my good graces. You try to buy my affections. You try to bypass repentance. You try to bypass your sin. You think you can store up enough good that I'll accept you, and I never will. I accept my son. And you want to cling to him, you can have me. That happened to me 34 years ago. Thank God. Religious but lost. I'm going to ask JT to come. As JT leads us in a song today, Christian, where are you when it comes to your prayer life? Where are you when it comes to the power in your prayer life? Do you make the earth quake with your desperation when you get on your knees for your family, for your friends, for your own life, for your own wickedness? Do you thank God for Jesus every day that you aren't who you were, but He's making you new? Person that's religious but lost, do you see your need for Christ today? Do you live for Jesus, or is it in name only? The Bible says that your conscience will either accuse you or excuse you if whether or not you're a child of God. JT sings today, and you need to come to the altar and lay some sin down. You can use these pillows for your knees. But whatever, if you need to come to the altar today, come and pray. Come where you are. Christ, save me from my sin. Jesus, make me empty of me and let me be what you created me to be in the first place. Because, Lord, I love you, but I love some other things too. Let my prayers reflect what's going on the inside. As JT comes, sings, you come.